Welcome to Holyrood Ungagged, the Bertie Auld of political podcasts. Hi guys, finished the podcast earlier on. I was actually tucked up in bed and then I realised I had not recorded this intro. So I'm now out of bed under the pretext of getting hot chocolate for my wife. So I'm hoping to record this quickly enough that she doesn't notice that I'm back on the computer. I really enjoyed the podcast this week. I have said before that just with the kids and things like that, quite often I'm running about and doing stuff right up until the moment I got on the computer to record. And I got half an hour before I recorded just to kind of calm down and think about my thoughts. And I really feel as if that helped with this podcast. So hopefully let me know if you see a difference and I'll try and make sure I get that wee half hour to decompress before going straight into it. And we spoke about Nicola Sturgeon announcing that she'll be serving the full term, which, not sure why it became an issue. It seemed like quite a media contrivance that managed to create this notion that somehow she was about to announce her resignation, but she's put that to rest and now they're talking about what she's got to do after that 5 years. You know, was it the gods laugh at the plans men make? I'm sure that extends to politicians and first ministers. We then spoke about the fact that Monica Lennon stood down, quite unexpectedly stood down from the Labour front bench. We all have quite a bit of respect for Monica Lennon and sorry to see her step back, but hopefully it isn't the last we see her in frontline politics. Obviously she's continuing as an MSP, but we would have preferred to see her as leader of the Scottish Labour rather than Mr. Sarwar. We had a bit of schadenfreude talking about Jeremy Corbyn suing the Tory councillor that made a kind of mock-up of him at the scene of the bombing in Liverpool. Took a bit of glee in the sad situation that the Tory has found himself in due to his own sort of stupid actions. And we just finished it with talking about the Omicron variant, which, can you imagine a couple of years ago saying we'd be talking about something called the Omicron variant? It sounds like something straight out of Star Trek, but here we are. So fingers crossed we all have the Christmas we're planning on and we're not back into lockdown. And I must admit, sometimes I miss lockdown. It made life smaller and a bit more manageable at times. But I think it might be the, don't think a lot of people agree with me on that. Anyway, like I said, I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy it. And let's get ungagged. And it was nice, nice to hear you smile. Clean a dream cause you'll never die. The stars will never overtake the sky. Life as it turns and it takes a while. And it was nice, nice to hear you smile.
That voice is so annoying, eh?
Recording in progress.
See, I was just saying, like, before I came on it, and I was saying last week as well about how, you know, it'd be nice to not be rushing about right before a recording, get a chance to relax. So I managed that. I was here at 7:30, sitting, got my Pepsi Max, a wee packet of biscuits, and now I just feel so low energy. I'm just like, going to want to use the presenting, I'll just chip in.
It's funny, because I like obviously set up the link, sent it out to you, and then you logged on like a quarter to, and I was like, is David all right? Is he trying to reach out for help or something, is he?
When's are on their bed, fast asleep.
Nice.
Do the intro, and then we can do the chatting.
Because it's easier for you to edit that one.
Hi.
Sorry, Deborah. And welcome to another episode of Holyrood Ungagged. It's our usual trio of a lineup. Myself, David McClement. I'm coming from the Blantyre Free State. We've also got our digital Michelangelo, Deborah Torrance, and Brian Finlay, the king of Hull Side. No, Hull Glen. That was good.
Hullside? Where's that?
Cambuslang.
I'm not in Cambuslang anymore. Well, I was never in Cambuslang. I was in Rutherglen, but...
Same thing. Yeah.
Controversial. Fight.
It's like saying Wishaw is the same as Motherwell.
Don't upset people.
So how is everybody?
I am good, apart from flooding my kitchen, although it was Jeannie who technically flooded the kitchen.
How did that happen?
The washing machine's been broke for a couple of days and the service person's coming tomorrow. And Jeannie thought, I'll just try the door, see if it works. And the whole machine emptied.
Well, the door did work.
Yeah, the door definitely worked. So I didn't get a chance to nap today. I think that's why I'm hyperactive. Yeah. I'm overtired. I was mopping That was what I was doing before I came on the podcast.
You're a lot brighter, so maybe the naps are actually having a negative effect.
Was it 2 weeks ago when you were just like staring at the camera?
Oh, I was like a zombie. I'm really sorry about that.
But I think it's when we've decided to start, obviously, with our schedules, having to record in the evening. Because we were normally a lot more perky, weren't we, when we were doing the mornings? But we're getting into the flow.
The 10 a.m. slot was
the
best. The caffeine just hit in at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
What have you been doing, David?
Well, my wife went back to work today after maternity leave. So this was my first day back as being full-time Mr. Dad. And rock and roll, I was just telling Brian before you came in there that I get 3 loads of washing done today.
Showing off with your washing machine.
Folded.
Wow. Good man.
There you go.
Are you wanting a round of applause for doing that?
I want 3 rounds of applause.
Do you applaud your wife when she does it?
When does she do it?
You might want to edit that out.
Yeah, what about you, Brian?
What have I been up to? Do you know what? I'm basically just working away on bits and pieces. But I was off on Sunday and I met my pal for lunch, which was really nice because I've done that for ages. And we just sat and chatted for ages. It was good. We had a nice lunch. We had a wee glass of wine after it. And we just sat there and blethered for like hours. It was very nice.
Lovely.
It's good.
I went out on Thursday to watch the football. And my mate, initially I was thinking I'd go around to my pal's house, and then he was saying, no, I fancy going to a pub, and I was like, right, okay. And so I'm looking at pubs and I'm thinking, oh, do I want to go out? I don't want to end up having to self-isolate if we're somewhere and it's packed because everybody's in watching the football. So after a bit of sort of wrestling with that, we went to the pub and there was 2 other people in there, so I don't think I'll need to worry. We're able to socially distance from the other 2 people in the whole place.
Yeah, when we went for a meal, because we're always a bit apprehended, we thought Sunday afternoon, is it going to be busy? There's literally just us way over in the corner and like another 2 tables at the other side, and I was like, I feel safe now. I was like, I'm happy here, let's not move.
Okay, let's get started then with the political shenanigans of the week. First up, a weird story where suddenly there was massive speculation about Nicola Sturgeon's future, and she caused a lot of dismay among the opposition ranks when she announced that she intended to serve her full 5-year term that she was only elected for a few months ago. It kind of moved on, where people were saying, well, will you stay on after that? And it was just this weird pantomime of trying to get Nicola Sturgeon to commit to being First Minister forever, apparently, or announcing when she was retiring. Don't know what you thought about it. Deborah, give you a couple of minutes to wax lyrical about your dear leader.
Oh, you make me sound sycophantic. I was like, well, who's even asking this question? It was a bit, this is weird. And like you said, the way it just kept going on, oh, well, what about next time? You're still going to, it's like, what, 4.5 years away? It seemed ridiculous to me. And I don't know what answer they expected. Like, imagine she just turned around and went, I am resigning tomorrow. Like, just the day before conference or something. Like, what was the point? It was just weird.
In the middle of the COVID briefing, just going, oh, fuck this.
I'm away.
I'm going to the pub.
And then they asked, like, the other opposition leaders to comment on this revelation that wasn't a revelation. It was really weird. And they were like, yeah. And then Jackson Carlo, that's the funniest
one. That's the one, yeah.
Jackson Carlo's like, she must resign and stuff. And it's like, shut up.
With his bizarre mask.
Stuck across here.
Like 2 inches higher than any mask I've ever seen.
It was weird. It managed to cover his nose and mouth, but not his chin. Like, uh-huh. It was weird. The whole story is weird. But then Jackson Carlo, who I always forget his name for some reason, it's almost as if he's insignificant. But then when he came out with that mask on, yeah, that it elevated the weirdness, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was really weird. And yeah, so Nicola Sturgeon's not resigning 7 months after being elected, and she's not going to confirm whether she's going to stand in 4.5 years' time, which I think is perfectly acceptable. And then, do you know what pisses me off even more? And this is the funniest one, right? Is people like Ian Murray tweeted today, right? And actually responded to this tweet. I never respond to people's tweets generally. But this one was ridiculous. And it's like, ah, there's Nicola Sturgeon talking about independence again. The SNP's talking about independence. That's literally why the SNP exists. I literally responded saying, the SNP exists to bring about Scottish independence, Ian. Like, of course they're going to be talking about it. And then some people are like, yeah, but they're not talking about it enough. And then they're like, but when's this referendum going to be? And I was like, Well, probably in this parliament, like the manifesto said.
I saw a tweet from Mary Hunter, and there was some of the replies were bizarre. Like, she tweeted saying, you know, that it was ridiculous to really expect any politician to be able to predict what they were doing in 5 years' time. And some people took that to mean she had let it slip that the SNP didn't intend to have an independence referendum. And I must have read that tweet like 100 times thinking, where are they reading this bit?
In their head.
That's what it was. They were reading a completely different tweet as far as I could make out. What was it? I think I tweeted back to somebody saying, you know, the first half of the parliament is in the next 5 years. So I just don't understand what you're saying. And then they came back with a really polite tweet saying that they were worried about independence not happening, with a very sort of, thank you very much for replying, like, as in, I don't want to talk to you. So I thought, I'm not going to harass the person, but it's really weird.
I wonder if it's the same sort of folk that keep saying independence wasn't mentioned at the SNP conference. Because I actually went in with a mind to count how many times independence was said, but I lost count after, like, the first resolution. It's so stupid. It's just, I don't understand why these people are... the SNP has said there's going to be one at this parliament, as you said, Brian. I suspect 2023, like, I think it's going to be announced pretty soon. I would rather it was 2022, but I think logistically and with all the stuff that's happening that we're going to talk about soon, I think,
I think they did announce that today.
No, it was they said the independence launch, and it was saying it's time for independence. But I don't think there's a date. Are you telling me there's a date?
Well, not a specific date, but 2023, I'm sure, was mentioned.
Also, I guessed right?
Yeah, like, you know, COVID, you know, taking COVID out of there is obviously a factor that can change
things. I'm
going to
say this. This will be rubbish if you know SNP news before I do. I'll get sacked.
I saw another tweet and it said something like, there was a quote, I can't remember if it was from Nicola Sturgeon or it was an SNP thing anyway, and it said, like, you know, something about building a new nation. And there was a tweet for an Alba fan saying, yet again, no mention of independence. I'm like, what new nation do you think they're talking about? Like, Fredonia? You know, like, it's not like some micronation they're making up. They're talking about Scotland, funnily enough.
People are just annoying just now. I think people are just really apprehensive and a bit excitable just now. And then people are just reading in, like, just making up their own minds when they're reading things, when the information isn't even there. It's like, what's going on?
You're right. I must have read that subliminally. Back in September, I think they said it. Wait a minute, give me a second. I just had an article and it's gone away because that's how my hands work. Aye, on Wales Online, there you go. 2023, and that was in September. That was.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely makes sense to aim for something like that, because you do want to have quite a long run with the campaign and whatnot. But I just hope that there's been work going on behind the scenes to basically reassure people about things that we've been told are really, really important. So the likes of currency and all these sort of big questions that were just sort of not necessarily thought out as much before the last referendum. So I just really, really hope that we've got some real radical and exciting policy announcements to have, really just to start creating this new country and a fairer country.
I'm quite enthusiastic about some of the policies that were passed at SNP conference. Mm-hmm. I think that sort of gives a wee insight into the way that we're moving. And a lot of the sort of policy ideas are focused on as being an independent country, which I think is really a positive sort of mindset to go into things. I'm quite excited about it. I just want to give a couple of policies a shout out, if I'm allowed.
Go on.
I'll allow it.
You'll allow it. Thank you, convener.
You have the floor.
British Sign Language in Education. That is so exciting, really excited about that one. We've got the sort of just transition that is about, you know, making sure nobody's left behind, basically, when we move away from fossil fuels. And I know Greens are going to have something to say about that one. So
when you started talking about that, I was more taken with the fact that when it was announced, who was immediately bombarded with transphobes attacking it.
I like that.
Because it had the word transition. And you're just like, no, it's transition means moving from one thing to something else. In this case, it's moving from an economy based in fossil fuels to one based in renewables. It has nothing to do with trans people. And just because you really hate them doesn't mean they're involved in everything. Thank you. Deborah, if you want to continue your...
Sorry, I had to mute myself there so I didn't have to edit it, my big guffaws, because it was really, it was something special when that one got... Brian, please talk.
Yeah, yeah, and as well, the doubling of the child payment as well, so that was another major one, wasn't it, which was great to see. I know that was one of the key things about the Green and SNP deal, which was something that the Greens have longed for a long time. So that was positive too, to see that coming out. However, when it comes to conferences and motions being passed, I'm always very cynical because, you know, we've got quite a long parliamentary process to go through before that happens. And ultimately, conferences are a party talking to itself, you know, and I understand it's different because the SNP is in government and they're a huge party. I totally understand that. I will be excited about these when I see the policy passed in parliament.
Getting back to the whole thing about Nicola Sturgeon's non-existent retirement, I did a bit of research. Do you know, like, Nicola Sturgeon is the same age now as Angela Merkel was when she got elected. Mm-hmm. And then she served for, like, 16 or 17 years.
That's right, yeah.
Also, comparing, like, the ages of prime ministers when they were elected, you know, she's younger now after being first minister for 7 years. Than the vast majority of prime ministers when they get elected. You know, Thatcher was 54 when she got elected. Major was 57. Blair was younger. He was 46. Brown was 56. Cameron was 44, so he was younger. May was 62. And Boris Johnson's 55, or was 55 when he was elected. So, again, I'm baffled as to where this whole thing came from, that she's going to resign when she's extremely young for somebody who's the amount of experience she's got.
There's a lot of people that want Nicola Sturgeon to be out of the way, I think, particularly from Westminster politics, even from the Labour Party and from some other opposition leaders. And I think sort of creating this narrative of precarity around Nicola Sturgeon's position, it's almost like it's as if it's going to happen. But they do realise, and I'm very critical of the SNP, I think they're far too safe. I think they're far too centrist in a lot of areas. But they've just been elected with, like, was it 48.3% of the vote or something? It's the highest percentage in any election in the UK, across the UK. Okay, so just to put that in context, right? And it's almost like if you keep talking in these narratives, like, oh, is Nicola Sturgeon going to stay on? Is she not? Is she going to want to retire? She might. But for time being, she's got this really strong mandate. She is generally very well liked. In comparison to our dear Prime Minister. So I think for these people that are starting to peddle this sort of narrative, it's very much just about weakening perceptions around Nicola Sturgeon.
Hang on, yeah. That's exactly what I think as well. It's just about discrediting her authority, basically.
Yeah.
Also, when you look at all the sort of modern Prime Ministers, you know, it's pretty much... But it almost does not happen that they decide to just retire in their own terms. You know, they either lose an election or a referendum and have to resign because of that, or they get forced out with their own party. Now, Nicola Sturgeon doesn't look like she's ready to lose an election anytime soon. Like I said, she just won one. She certainly isn't going to get forced out with her own party. She's very secure in that sense. Because, if you go back... Theresa May get forced out of her own party after a poor election performance. David Cameron, he quit because he lost the referendum in 2016. Brown was voted out. Major was voted out. Blair was forced out of his party, by Gordon Brown mostly. Thatcher was forced out of her party. So you need to go back to Harold Wilson, who's really like the only Prime Minister in living memory that just decided he was going to chuck it on his own terms. Like, you know, so the idea that they're creating this narrative that Nicola Sturgeon's going to do that, it would It would be a million to one shot because it doesn't usually happen.
Yeah, so outlandish.
It's really weird. And see, just for context, and I've spoken about this before, right, because it's always really important to put this in context, right, and how popular the SNP actually is in Scotland. And they're polling consistently from what they were back in May. And there's been no fluctuation in the support in recent polls. But, you know, the SNP was like 48.3% of the vote, if I remember correctly, right? And to put that into context, Labour in 1997, under First Past the Post, only got 43.2% of the vote. And then that's just sort of painted as this massive landslide that, you know, almost like huge, huge success for Tony Blair and for the Labour Party. That SNP's got 5% more than that. It's really, really wild to think that. And it's important for everybody out there and also for people in the media to remember things like that. Because, you know, the SNP is incredibly popular. And for particular opposition leaders, that's really problematic for them.
Yeah, I mean, you can just imagine what the Scottish Parliament would look like in the last, 10 years or so if there was no proportional representation with the additional members. You know, it would literally be like a parliament full of SNP MSPs with like a wee handful of, you know, a couple of Liberals for the Northern Islands and a couple of Tories in the North East at one point. But, you know, it would just basically be, it would be much like the SNP party conference, you know, in terms of diversity.
Yeah. And there's also a really funny example, like, because in England, obviously, councils are voted through and first past the post, yeah? And if you look at, like, Islington Council, it's got some, like, it's got, like, say there's, like, 50 councillors or something like that in total, and it's, like, 45 of them are Labour, and then there's, like, one Liberal and then, like, a couple of Greens, and that's it. And that's
Tory-free?
I think it's Tory-free, if I remember correctly. Well done, Islington. But, yeah, I remember looking at that thinking, that's so weird. Like, there is no function in democracy there where it's, like, 45 Labour and, like, you know, opposition parties couldn't even touch the side. It doesn't make any sense. But that's pretty much what the Scottish Parliament would look like with SNP. It would just be dominated by the SNP and then, you know, a couple of each party.
Just looking something up because something just occurred to me there. As of 21 minutes ago, Barbados just became a republic.
Yes.
Barbados has been the Queen. So good on them. So next up, it was a bit of a surprise announcement. I don't think there was any anticipation of this, but Monica Lennon stood down from the Labour front bench. She was a shadow cabinet minister for net zero energy and transport. There has been some speculation that it was related to Anas Sarwar publicising his meeting with Oil and Gas UK. And of course, Monica Lennon did stand against Anas Sarwar in the Scottish Labour's leadership election earlier this year, winning 42% of the vote. And during that campaign, she said that she would not oppose a second referendum on independence. Brian?
Yeah, I was quite surprised by that one. And it kind of came out of nowhere. It wasn't like, you know, it was like a build-up to this. And it, at the moment, it's all very much speculation as to why Monica Lennon stood down. I was disappointed that she didn't win the Scottish Labour leadership because I think that it would have taken the party in a slightly different direction. And I think that with the things that Monica's managed to get through in the last parliament, period poverty bill, all these types of things, I think she's a fantastic person to have in parliament and speaking up for vulnerable people and coming up with some good and constructive ideas. During her leadership campaign, it was so refreshing just to hear, like, basically not hear the same record from Scottish Labour, which we've heard since the independence referendum. So that was really disappointing. But in terms of standing down, and if it is for this particular reason, so yeah, it was the photograph. I think it was a bit of a distasteful thing for them to do, speaking to this oil and gas organisation, and then, you know, a picture being taken and it was tweeted out and all these types of things. And then somebody from Scottish Labour tried to say, aha, but Lorna Slater met with these people, but they had lobbied her. Which I thought was really, really weird to be like, haha, gotcha. Well, MSPs get lobbied. Who knew? Yeah, it's disappointing to see that talent going from the front bench in Scottish Labour. But I'm sure whatever Monica does in the future, it will be a great contribution to the Scottish Parliament.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a loss to Labour's front bench. I really like Monica. I think she's a great representative. I don't know so much about all that. You were talking about the oil and gas lobbying. I just think maybe she'd... you know, it's a big responsibility being in, you know, the shadow cabinet. It's a lot more work and stuff like that. So maybe she just wanted a wee break. But she says she's still going to be totally committed to her community, which I don't doubt for a second. I think she represents her seat very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, she wanted a lot more responsibility earlier in the year when she was running for leader. So the fact that she's standing back now is a bit surprising. Sorry to see it a bit like yourselves, I like Monica Lennon. I think if she'd won the leadership, we might have seen Scottish Labour take a more constructive approach to things, as opposed to, it just feels as if they're slipped back into the whole kind of banging the unionist drum and trying to outdo the Tories in terms of, you know, who's the best unionists and the most committed unionists. And, you know, I think Scotland needs a kind of more forward-thinking Labour Party. That's what they're supposed to be.
Yeah,
I think they're getting killed with the Constitutional Convention because they keep slipping into this uber-unionist position, which I don't think a lot of their members are comfortable with. Even ones that might support the union, I don't know how comfortable they are with the way they're almost becoming like British nationalists in terms of unionism.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can out-union the Conservative and Unionist Party. Like, that's always been the mistake, exactly. I feel, that Scottish Labour made. Like, they could have argued for a very Scottish perspective on the union, but they didn't.
It's really strange, isn't it? And there was it after the general election where, like, Jed Killen and Monica Lennon had come out and said that clearly the electorate's not buying what we're selling and we need to start listening to the electorate because they are voting for the SNP, they are voting for pro-independence parties and whatnot. And so maybe we just need to stop telling the electorate what they should be thinking and engage with this discussion a lot better. I mean, you don't have to support independence to appreciate the fact that the electorate obviously wants another vote in this. And if you want, you know, Scotland to stay in the union, you're going to have to create a really good and progressive case. And good luck with that under the current circumstances.
Yeah. But I think also so much has changed since the last referendum that I don't think Annas is going to lead Labour into some sort of, you know, unionist revival. I really don't see it happening.
And I would love to see Scottish Labour back as the official opposition and the Tories to be knocked back into third place, because I think that it would kind of take the carpet from underneath them, you know, and they would lose their credibility again, because, you know, Ruth Davidson, you know, the Tory revival would be completely diminished again. And I think that would be a really positive thing for Holyrood politics, but just in general, just to put them back in their place.
I think also as well, I mean, every government needs to have a half-decent opposition just to have them scrutinised so they don't get lazy, so they don't, you know, get careless with things. And I think the current crop of Tories in the Scottish Parliament are really, they're not even second rate, they're third rate. You know, like, you know, we kind of go a week without one of them make some kind of gaffe and embarrasses themselves in Parliament because they come out with something that's just factually wrong. And I think if we had Labour as the main opposition, I think it would be a bit more competent, at least, rather than
constructive.
You know,
constructive, Douglas, that's it, exactly.
Rather than Douglas Ross and his merry band of idiots.
And no, forgetting to declare, like, the 28 grand and stuff like that. And, and, you know, having a dual mandate and, you know, refereeing games at the weekend whilst also being the leader of the Scottish Conservatives, you know. It would be definitely be a start.
I think Labour in opposition at Holyrood would also be much more reflective of Scotland as a society. I think it would be really good. I just wish Scottish Labour would be much more open, like, to independence. Like, it would be so good for them.
I think it would be good to see a creation of what Labour would want to create, an independent country. And I think that, you know, for as much as they hate the idea, if the independence referendum is coming and it looks like it's going to be an independence is going to win it, they're going to have to create something. They're going to have to create a manifesto for that first election, you know, after independence. So, but I'd be really keen to see what their plan would look like, and it would be great to see, personally, going forward, I would love to see, like, a sort of Green Labour government in a post-independence. Oh, bye SNP. No, I'm joking.
Harsh. Very, very harsh.
That is harsh. But, yeah, no, that's definitely more where my politics lie, the left-leaning Labour, obviously. Maybe a nice Monica Lennon-led Labour, you know, with a lot of the left of Labour in prominent positions or something like that. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, no, that's definitely where I would like to see independence, a Scottish independence, and how it should look like, and how it could be shaped to genuinely make people's lives better.
I'm going to controversially say I would really like Labour to have that research and become the second party. Mm-hmm. But I also know we've got, unfortunately, some Tories in Scotland and Lib Dems. So they also need a wee bit of representation, let's be fair. Give them a seat.
Lib Dems are now a party in Parliament. So it's...
No, they that's right, they've not...
They lost their status. Yeah, they lost their status. Yeah. Lol.
The thing is, though, I don't really see much change coming for Scottish Labour because Anas Sarwar seems very, very popular. I have a lot of friends in the press, so he's kind of secure on that front. I think he seems to have quite a grip on the party because he's more of the centrist right wing of the Labour Party, whereas Richard Leonard always seemed as if he was fighting internal battles.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to be happening with Anas Sarwar, so again, he's secure on that front. There's no another election due for 5 years. And even at that election, Labour is like, I mean, we've spoken about it before, that Labour has lost seats every single election since 1999. Mm-hmm. So they must at some point hit that a real, you know, rock bottom. In which case, there's the only way to go for that is up. So he might not do very well, but if he picks up a couple of seats, we's friends in the media and his party kind of supporting him, he'll probably be able to hang on to the leadership even with that result. So he's a fairly young guy as well. So you could be talking about 10 years. Like he's in charge of the Labour Party. So I don't see any great progressive strides being made under his leadership.
No, I don't think so either.
And that's the real shame. That's, in my opinion, that's Monica not getting elected as Scottish Leader.
And those results as well, that actually in the affiliates, I believe Monica Lennon just beat Anas Sarwar, so that's all the trade union members and all that kind of stuff. But it was the party that swayed it massively. So that in itself was quite interesting. I actually logged on and watched the results coming through because I was like...
Because you're a geek.
I am such a geek. But I was like, I was actually starting to feel quite, like during Monica's leadership campaign, I was starting to feel quite engaged with Scottish Labour. I wouldn't vote Labour, and you know, at the moment. But I was like, you know what? I felt like excited about potential change and real, maybe even like collaboration and just not politics for politics' sake. I really felt that we might have got that. But then, of course, the announcement came and I was like, well, that was that one. It was nice while it lasted. You know, let's move on again.
But we've also seen it with, you know, Richard Leonard and Jeremy Corbyn, that in Labour, if you don't have the parliamentary part behind you, they'll just undermine the leader and stab them in the back until, you know, death by a thousand cuts, they have to go. Whereas, you know, look how secure Sarwar and Starmer seem, despite the fact that I don't think either have done exactly a spectacular job. I think Starmer's been a disaster, and, you know, Sarwar's only real contribution is to, you know, have the worst ever Labour result since the last one in terms of Scottish Parliament elections.
And Starmer's just done like another reshuffle today, and I know it's the sort of new announcements and stuff are just coming through now, but this is not feeling very inspiring. This reshuffle, and I saw
Shadow Home Secretary might be Emily Thornberry. Is that right?
No, it's Home Secretary is Yvette Cooper.
Oh,
inspiring.
Yeah, it's worse.
Shadow Home Secretary.
Shadow Home Secretary, of course, but. You would actually quite like to see her go against Priti Patel, though. Eh? It would be quite interesting. But not, again, not very inspiring, not very progressive, but be worth a watch.
So, no reasons for independence this week. I would say, if you're listening to this, get in contact, send in your reasons for independence. If you think you're no famous enough or nobody will be interested, you couldn't be more wrong. We're looking for anybody that believes in independence. We'd like to know where you're coming from. We'd like to know what you think. So get in touch. If you're on the fence, you know, here's the wee nudge. Go for it. Send it in. Get in contact with us.
Might cut them short.
Or you could do a, like a record scratch.
I'm not that good, Brian.
When would you be when would you be editing, just in case we could maybe get one last minute?
I was going to try and do some tomorrow. Hold on, sorry, there's Jeannie. Give me just 1 second.
Pizza again.
You want to say hi? You can stick your head.
Who is it?
It's just David and Brian. Let's Brian, his voice.
Hello, right? David, and hello, Brian.
Hello, hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to see you.
Busy.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. All right, I'm so glad.
Keep my route of trouble.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
I'm nearly finished. Yes, it's.
That's all recorded. Please keep that in.
I love her so much.
She's like,
she just took the iPad and went,
I love
just
it.
Just breathed right in.
I love
sorry.
It.
I have drank
Bovril. Were we not recording there?
No, and I'm gutted about that because I paused
that
it.
Bovril chat.
I know.
He's missed the Bovril chat. We were asking, do you prefer Bovril or Horlicks? And as it turns out, Brian's tried neither.
I've never tried them because I didn't want to drink gravy or like porridge. Basically, I just drink peppermint and licorice tea. Okay.
That's the greens, I know.
SNP drink Bovril. don't know. If, maybe it's just an old person's drink that I've grown to love.
Next up on the agenda. So, a suspended Tory councillor has had to pay substantial damages to Jeremy Corbyn over a tweet about the Liverpool bombing. Paul Nickerson, who sits in East Riding of Yorkshire Council, was suspended by his Conservative group last week for the doctored image of Mr Corbyn laying a poppy wreath by the burning taxi, accompanied by the caption, unsurprisingly. The council launched a GoFundMe appeal for a brief moment entitled Jeremy Corbyn versus Councillor Paul Nickerson, legal fees, but to only raise £30 before he decided to take it down. It's a shame, isn't it, Deborah?
When you told me about this story, I had to go and Google the image, obviously. And from a graphic design perspective, it's some of the most shoddiest photoshopping I've ever seen. I mean, it's obvious photoshopping, in my opinion.
I don't think he was trying to frame Jeremy Corbyn.
Not like the tabloids.
I just want to say, like, what Brian said in the chat earlier, like, he should have been sued over the photoshopping and alone.
It's the fact that, we should have been laughing at this because it's quite
I know, scary. It's terrible. It's
but
awful.
At the same time, the photoshopping was so bad that Jeremy Corbyn looks like he's about 8 foot tall next to this burning car. So he should have been sued for the efforts of photoshopping alone, I think.
I like the question that was raised, though. Did he personally do the photoshopping?
I don't think he would admit to that.
I don't know. I don't think that's been addressed. But as far as I know, he was the only one that's tweeted it out.
Just thinking maybe that's his new career path. Digital art.
I mean, yous are laughing, but apparently he's been financially destroyed by this right before Christmas and he's got 4 young children. Guess he has to go to a food bank, yeah?
Need to claim universal credits in like 5 weeks. Unfucking locker.
I've got
be fine with the middle of January then.
I've just got no sympathy whatsoever for him. I think that choosing to tweet something like that, he was obviously doing it to draw attention to himself, right? So again, like, oh, look
so
at me.
It worked.
It certainly worked. I'm really glad that, you know, Corbyn went down the route he did because it's fantastic. It's not something that, you know, because it's very much that you see a lot of right-wing people doing this and it's very much so they can silence people that are trying to criticise them. But it's great to see Jeremy Corbyn come out swinging and really go down this route. And it's basically just completely embarrassed him, which I'm here for.
See, as a digital artist, though, who superimposes people in lots of situations.
Sounds sinister.
That sounds scary.
That's my dark web job a day. No, what I'm saying is it's a little bit worrying that an elected representative can sue you for that. I'm not going to lie. It did make me go, oh. But as you say, it's very hard to feel sorry for a Tory that tweeted that in such a, I mean, it was such a traumatic incident that's still really raw. And
this is
people's, yeah.
It's so inappropriate on so many levels.
That's the word. It's just really inappropriate. And I do like a bad Photoshop myself, but I try not to be inappropriate with it.
Yeah,
I mean, it was I mean, somebody tried to bomb a maternity hospital, and this guy's first reaction is, or Jeremy Corbyn would support that. I think if somebody was trying to make publicly say that I would support the bombing of a maternity hospital, I think I would be phoning a lawyer.
Exactly.
Or sending people into the house.
I mean, also, they grossly misrepresented him as an 8-foot giant.
Yeah, they did. But
what is Jeremy Corbyn?
I don't know.
He's quite tall, I think.
Is he?
Asking the big questions.
Wait, we'll have a guess. There's a guy on TikTok that can figure out what height you are for doing like maths and objects smashing. But I reckon Jeremy's maybe 6'1".
You think so? As big as that? That's quite tall for a man his age.
I just think all men are tall.
I'm not.
Except Brian.
Yes, well, I am 5'3" and proud. Actually, I'm not 5'3". I'm actually 5'4" because, I, to be fair, I went to the doctors. You know, when you move and they just do like a sort of preliminary health check. And then, like, just went in for the wee height thing. And, just, and the nurse was like, oh, you're 5'4". And I was like, am I? And then I remembered that I had my shoes on.
5'10"?
5'10".
He's not that tall. That's I mean, he's tall. He's tall to Brian.
Everyone's tall to Brian.
Sorry, I keep picking on.
I'm 5 foot, well.
Four.
Apparently, because of my medical
and his,
records.
And his but... Cuban heels, he's 5 foot.
I went to the doctor's in my Spice Girls platform shoes. No, I'm joking. I think I'm about 5 foot.
Spice up your life.
Yeah. I'm actually, I would say 5'3". I am a short arse.
I'm just trying to see how you compare to other world leaders. Hang on.
There's probably an app for that.
Brian.
The only famous person height I know is Kylie Minogue, and she's 5'1".
She's titchy. I've met Kylie Minogue.
You're smaller than Nicola Sturgeon, Brian.
But that doesn't surprise me, though. Like, I'm used to being smaller than everyone. Like, see, at school, when they're like, everyone just line
I've
up
met
at age.
You and I've
just...
met Nicola Sturgeon, and she seemed tiny. And I've never thought you was a giant, Brian. But I never thought you were smaller than Nicola Sturgeon.
Well, yeah, it's just.
Stop
I'm used
picking
to
on Brian's height. That's
and you
my
know
job.
Here's the funniest story, right? Just to layer on top of this, right? That I am the same height as my dad, right? And my dad is the tallest of 9 children. So there you go.
Wow.
I know, right? I love going to family parties because I feel like average height. It's great.
My mum's side of the family is quite small. I'm 6'1", so it is quite young, quite tall. But I used to go to family events with that side of the family, and they just want and have like wee elderly aunties take me around, showing me off like I'm some kind of freak.
It wasn't for your height, though, David.
They once described me as being like a basketball player. Like, I'm barely over 6 foot.
I once saw the Dutch basketball team in Schiphol Airport, and that was tall. So I don't think over 6 foot's tall, but that's because my brother and my nephews are all over 6 foot. So no, all my brothers, one of my brothers is the same height as me, so he's small.
I love the fact that this has just turned into height chat.
I know, as because we're like, don't really want to talk about Tories. We never want to talk about Tories. We don't feel sorry for Tories.
I don't feel sorry for Tories ever about anything, to be honest. So
no, I just think, you know, it's nice to see the line getting drawn. You know, politics has just got so like lost so much connection to reality, like where people just throw mud at each other. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's true. People just make things up and then throw accusations about it. So it's nice to see a line getting drawn to say, no, no, you went too far there and you have to pay for that, you know. And I'd like to see more of it.
I also seen a tweet that I'd like to rip off because I didn't take a note of whose name it was. But they said it's also a little cherry on top that Corbyn's given his money to charity. It's particularly one that the guy hates, that being a charity.
Yeah.
If he donated it to a food bank, the guy might actually just get his money back indirectly.
But can you imagine like starting a crowdfunder and actually making £30? I think it would be better if it was just £0 because you could be like, it didn't work.
I think he had to take it down. I wonder if there was a legal reason why he had to take it down, because apparently he took it down but rather quick.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a thing like you can't crowdfund to pay for a court case like that, or
my dad, I don't know, mate. Have you been on the internet before?
No.
Yeah, but paying damages that's been awarded, I don't know if that's what a subtle difference. Maybe legal fees you could pay for, but
you definitely can do that.
I have a random fact that's just popped in my head. You know, the term crowdsourcing was invented by Wired magazine in 1993.
There you are. just, I love, see, people that come here to listen about politics always learn something, and you have just passed on that knowledge, and that's great.
There you go, fountain of useless information.
You'd be good in a pub quiz, though.
I'm rubbish. Ask my pubs. Yeah.
Me and Glenn are good at a pub quiz. We actually won some drinks before when we were at a pub quiz. There you go.
You're looking at the St. Anthony's Primary School quiz captain, 1991.
Oh, well then.
That's amazing. But you know what? We could be a good pub quiz team, because you know a lot about sport, don't you, David?
Not bad. Basically, I'm quite good at all subjects of quiz except for music.
Well, I'm really good at music.
I'm terrible at music.
I'm definitely, that's my strong point. Anything before 2009?
Now, I'm quite rubbish with soaps and stuff that people would consider general knowledge. I'm like, I don't have, who's that? I don't know any of that stuff. Yeah. Or music, unless it's specifically Shakespeare's Sister songs.
Oh, good.
They only done like 3 songs, did they?
They done a whole album.
They had an album, David.
With 3 singles on it.
Probably should move on to the next subject, because we have went from Tory councillor getting sued to Heights. Yeah, picking on Brian.
Now I've just got that Shakespeare Sister song in my head.
Which one?
Stay.
You better hope and pray that you wake one day to your own world. Look, we're having an ungagged karaoke.
That'll be our Christmas special.
Yeah.
Okay, final subject of the evening. The Omicron variant of the COVID-19 has arrived in Scotland. There's been 4 confirmed cases in Lanarkshire and 2 in Glasgow, and several countries in Southern Africa have been placed on the red list in terms of travel. So, guys, look forward to Christmas getting cancelled.
Oh, I hope not. I really, really hope not. But, I mean, the sort of announcement, I mean, it's still very much unknown. There's a lot of unknowns around this, and I think that it's good that the government is at least introducing some changes, so particularly on travelling, PCR tests, you know, staying in isolation until you get your test result, which to me makes sense. It's all very practical. In England, obviously, going back to face coverings, great. Maybe if the Prime Minister would wear a face covering as well, that would be great. But I think that they are doing some of the right things. I just hope that we don't look back 2 or 3 weeks' time and go, they should have done more. I watched the interview on Andrew Marr, which was with the doctor that discovered this new variant in South Africa. Cannot remember her name. And basically, they are, obviously, it can transmit a lot quicker. However, they're not seeing an increase of illness. So basically, the illness and the effects on people are the same. And they're obviously needing to do more tests to see if the vaccine is just as resistant towards this new variant. So really, at the moment, it's just a kind of wait and see. And it's going to take a couple of weeks. There was Linda Bald as well, was on the Sunday show yesterday. And they're very much saying that they're not really going to know any more of these sort of wider questions for the next 3 weeks. So I hope Christmas isn't going to get cancelled. I think that would be really detrimental for a lot of people's mental health this year. I really, really do, because we were starting to feel like things were in a safe place for a while. And I know that there was still high transmission and there was unfortunately still deaths, but it felt like there was some stability there. And I think if we start to regress back again, I worry about people's mental health. I really, really do.
Yeah, I just want to say that you should not rely on updates from us. You should go to nhsinform.scot, or you can follow the World Health Organization updates, because they're, you know, on the ball. They know what's happening. It's really quite terrifying, to be honest, as a disabled person living with an elderly, vulnerable person as well. I worry about, is there going to be priority online shopping things again if we go into lockdown? Mm-hmm. Is there going to be extra support there? Like, if they're already taking £20 off the universal credit, what's happening with that uplift? It's just, I've got lots and lots of questions, because there's already been so many delays and the NHS and, you know, getting appointments and stuff. And I've got an appointment tomorrow with my neurologist consultant. And I had to go into the hospital last week to get bloods, but then they phoned me and said, oh, don't come back in. I was like, oh. So it's a phone consultation again tomorrow. And I just think the chat of another lockdown, if it's necessary, obviously, like what else are we going to do? But this chat of not having, you know, oh, we're not going back to wearing masks and washing our hands. What, were you not doing that this whole time? Maybe that's why we're now learning the Greek alphabet. Like, mm-hmm. That is not how I wanted to learn it. Like, what are we at now? Omicron. So mm-hmm. Does anybody know what letter that is of the Greek alphabet? I'm going to look it up because that's the type of person I am.
I know if we get to Omega, we're in trouble because that's the last one. I think I've been quite shocked at how fast the sort of anti-lockdown, anti-vaxxer, anti-mask brigade have really, you know, seized on this. And it's kind of worried me that they're a more coherent, sort of organised movement than I initially thought. So that's actually concerning me as much as the Omicron variant.
Mm-hmm. I just realised I can't read Greek and I don't know if the alphabet goes forward or backwards and it's in the middle somewhere. So it's not good.
Sorry, you've just realised you don't speak Greek.
Well, maybe I had some sort of natural gift. You don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, I thought you would though.
But no, I agree with you with the sort of anti-vax, if we call them a movement. It's...
Call them a nuisance.
Yeah. But I feel too that, you know, the recruitment tactics and stuff, and if we do start to regress back into more restrictions and we end up in a lockdown again, it just seems worrying that people might actually start to turn to that sort of feeling, like that people are looking for answers that don't necessarily exist. And I'm worried that if we start to regress back to having more restrictions again, that I think that would be an opportune recruitment tactics for these types of movements, and that's a concern.
Did anybody see Piers Corbyn and his crew in their song?
Was that who that was?
Was that on a train? On yes. A subway carriage or something? Yeah, yes. What was that? That monstrosity?
I've never seen a song so bad that I would consider it a war crime, but that was up there. It was horrific.
Who were the other folk? Were they his pals?
Other anti-vaxxer type folk, I imagine, anti-lockdown people.
Mm-hmm. Worst TikTok I've ever seen.
It was absolutely... mind-numbingly terrible. Like, if you've not heard it, I would say go and listen to it, but beforehand imagine the worst sung performed song in your life, and you're still not even close to how badly performed this little ditty was. I believe it's called "Wearing a Mask Is Like Trying to Keep a Fart in Your Trousers."
Is that what they were saying? I couldn't work out what they were keeping in their trousers. I was like, what is this? I might add this at the end of the podcast, by the way, that song.
Oh, I don't know about that. It was truly bad. I mean, it made Lawrence Fox look talented. That's how badly they sang.
Oh, dear.
No, I'm gonna add that song to the end of the podcast.
We should add like a clip of Jackson Kerbla saying, she's going to serve the whole term.
And then just I'll try and mix it in.
Why did you think she was running for election, Jackson? what did you think she was doing?
Well, is Jackson going to be a standing MSP for the whole of Parliament, or is he deciding to resign? And
I want to know what he's doing in 10 years' time, Brian.
Yeah. Oh, it's just ridiculous.
This has ended up into just a pure random chat. I'm glad you organised the agenda and everything, David.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not having to edit it, that's for sure.
It's all right. I just go with the flow in it.
We just have to enjoy ourselves, that's all. I think we're all a little bit sleepy now. I think we can feel that we're sort of declining into the tired.
I'm starting to feel a bit manic myself because I'm like...
Manic Monday.
I know. I think it was when Jeannie came in, she broke my sort of...
Your stride.
My upness.
I would actually want to listen to a podcast. It was just Jeannie.
To be fair, she is awesome. She's got the best stories.
I'd like to hear more Jeannie stories.
I'll tell you what, I'll get her to come on next week instead of me. And then when she says,
"Whole new podcast, you know that guy."
Well, when she talks about politicians, I'm just automatically meant to know who they are, and she often ends up going, "Deborah, that guy, you know, the white guy, him with the hair." He wears the suit. I'm like, man, that none of these descriptions are helping me.
You've narrowed it down to 99%.
I know. She's hilarious.
Sounds like a hoot.
Yeah, well, my mum's a bit like that in terms of when she's trying to explain something and she'll say that guy's name. Thing me, what do you call it? What's his face? And I'm like, these are no helping me at all. Not even slightly.
I mean, to be fair, at least Jeannie's are a wee bit descriptive.
Mom just keeps using like random words like that. Thing me, what would you call them? What's his face? You know the one? Okay.
And the answer is no, we don't.
No, we don't at all. I think we'll draw it to a close there because we're just rambling.
They're trying to make it hard for me to edit, listeners. This is what's happening.
You're right. Let's go for another 25 minutes.
Let's go back to agenda number one.
Let's just start again. So if you've managed to make it to the end of this podcast, thank you very much. Join us again next week. And if you want to see anything in the meantime, you can catch up on our website, leftungag.org, to read any written articles that will be there. There's also another monthly podcast from the Ungag Collective called World Beat with George Collins. There's a four-part interview on at the moment if you want to catch up with that. If there's anything you want us to talk about on Hollywood Ungagged, you can tweet us at _ungagged, # Hollywood Ungagged, or email us at ungaggedleft@gmail.com, putting Hollywood Ungagged in the subject line. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please go to wherever you download your podcasts and give us a rating of 5 stars or more, please. That would be very nice. And if you could write a review as well, that would be helpful. Hopefully, Deborah will edit out her whispering instructions to me there.
No, I'm leaving it in.
Well, Brian, Deborah, thanks for joining me. And thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Is that good news from your point of view?
I think it's bad news for Scotland. She intends to serve the whole term. Well, I mean, the Scottish government is really a litany of broken promises, and I think Nicola Sturgeon is the leader in that list of broken promises, and Scotland will need change long before the next election.
Do you know, wearing a mask is like trying to keep a fart in your trousers. Wearing a mask is like trying to keep a fart in your trousers. Wearing a mask is like trying to keep a fart in your trousers. Wearing a mask. It's like trying to keep a fart in your trousers. Wearing a mask. It's like trying to keep a fart in your trousers. What is it like? It's like trying to keep a fart in your trousers. What is it like? It's like trying to keep a fart in your trousers. Wearing a mask. It's like trying to keep a fart in your trousers. Wearing a mask. It's like trying to keep a fart in your trousers. What is it like? It's like trying to keep a fart in your trousers. What is it like? It's like trying to keep a fart in your trousers.
Sound new world order, we've never followed any of your mad diktats. And we never will.
Resist, defy, do not comply. Resist. Defy, do not comply. Resist, defy, do not comply.
Freedom, freedom. Ungagged does not condone any of this buffoonery. Please wear a mask, wash your hands, get your jabs and keep each other safe. It's the socialist thing to do.